Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas. Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning and we are talking about knowing God, developing an intimate supernatural relationship. We've been talking about the Lord's visits and how he makes himself known to us. As always, if you want to move ahead of what we're talking about at any time during the program, you can. We do have books available, and you can purchase those through for a donation through our website at wecanprepare.org, or you can contact me at diane@wecanprepare.org, and we'll help you through that process. There's three books. They correspond with the three series we're doing on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursday mornings. Obviously, we're able to go into a lot more detail on the radio, as well as addressing specific concerns and questions that come up. But we do cover the basics in the books, so they are always helpful. And pretty much what I've heard back is that people end up having to get several copies just because they've marked up the first copies they get, and then they want to pass them along to other people. So what I've been getting back is that they are very helpful in conjunction with this radio program. So I do want to encourage you, if this is helpful at all, that is something that would help you to not just follow along with what we're doing, but our goal here is not just to inform, but to inspire you to know the Lord on a much deeper level than what you may have been experiencing. There's both a challenge and an encouragement in that don't settle for where you are now, wherever you are. There's more. God is ever creative, and if he needs to create something just for you, if you're the first one to a particular point in revelation or a point in knowing him, there's always more. And if he has to create something just for you, he will. So you can never outdo God. You can never know him more than what he can create new for you. So there's a challenge, but also just sometimes we need that encouragement that wherever you are is exactly where God wants you. You've not missed him. You've not failed. You're not so far behind that he can't bring you right up to speed. Because you got to remember, you are what's important to him. Not how you may look to others or his reputation. He doesn't care about that. He's not concerned at all about what other people think about him or about you. So wherever you're at is exactly where he wants you. He wants you. He loves you. He's making way for you. So you don't need to be concerned about disappointing him or messing up his plans for you, because you are his plans. It's not about you getting to a certain level or achieving anything for him. This whole idea of fulfilling your purpose and call, that's man. That's a man-made doctrine. That's a man-made concept. You are his purpose. Knowing you and you knowing him, that's the purpose that he has set aside for this time here on this earth. Now, he'll give us projects that we are to work on. But those are like homework assignments. It doesn't reflect at all on your relationship with God. It's just he knows there are skills that you'll need to rule and reign here on this earth. And as his son, that's because you are now his character, his nature. You are now a spirit being. This is who you are, is a ruler and a reigner as a son of God. So to do that, there are specific skills that you will need. And so he's putting each one of us in exactly the situation we need to develop those skills. But he does it by both the right hand and the left hand. It's like when you think about a potter working on a bowl or a vessel of any kind. It takes both the right hand and the left hand to keep things balanced, to keep things together and being formed. It takes pressure from both the right hand and the left hand. The right hand of blessing and the left hand of adversity. If all we ever experienced was good and positive and easy, we would never develop persistence and patience, and we would never appreciate the character that God is putting in us, and we would never appreciate and value the uniqueness that God made each one of us. So when life is easy, nothing but ease, we don't find out what God has put in us. So it's not that we need to go seeking out adversity. God brings it into our lives exactly when and how we need it. But we can prepare. If we are learning to know him and hear him, we are receiving and gaining from him the supernatural nutrition. Our soul is being freed and available to him. He is healing our wounds, and he is cleaning out our ears so we can hear him better. He is teaching us to speak so we can give what we have received. So he's teaching us how to be what we are, not what we think we are or should be. So that when these tough times or even good times come along, we will be ready. We will be equipped and reliable, and we can enjoy every day, regardless of how busy we are, we can be at rest. We can lead a nation and be at rest. We can be making life and death decisions and be at rest. We can be struggling with questions, experiencing a death in the family, experiencing financial challenges, and be at rest. Because we know by experience who God is and who we are in him. And we get there by spending time with him. It's like he draws. Think of your spirit as being in the very center of your being. And to draw your spirit into your soul, think of him as being in his presence. It draws your spirit into your soul and eventually into your body. So it's almost like magnetic, that he's in your room. He's in the air you're breathing. And by spending more time with him alone and silent and quiet, he pulls the spirit that's within you into your soul. And sometimes he cleans it out, needs to clean it out, and he does that. He's not going to allow any hindrances to interfere. And when we realize that, we can cooperate with him and not resist him. And again, continue to enter into that rest. And again, enjoy the process. So we've been talking about the Lord's visits. Specifically, the way he visits us at night. And how enjoyable and beneficial that is. That at night, before we go to sleep and while we're sleeping, we let go of so many of the distractions that our soul is engaged in our body during the day. So we become more available to him during the night. And we've got that precaution again that being available to God is also being more available to our enemies. So we want to be learning and going into this knowing how to test what we hear. Lord, is that you? And being able to tell the voice of God from all other voices. And a lot of times you don't need to identify what that other voice is. Just know it is either him or not him. So we ask, Lord, is that you? And we have hopefully learned how to distinguish between the voice of our shepherd and the voice of the butcher. If that voice is harsh, demanding, or induces fear, it's not from the Lord. If it's encouraging, if it induces peace, not saying he won't provide us correction, but it will be that correction will lead us to depend on him more rather than on our own strength. So there's actually fairly simple ways of discerning, of being able to tell God's voice, but it takes time, and sometimes it takes letting go of our own beliefs. Because if you believe that the only reason God would talk to you is to correct you, and God is wanting to talk to you because he loves you, you're going to have a hard time accepting his voice. So be willing to release and let go of some of your beliefs. He loves you now unconditionally, and that in your spirit, you are already accepting his love unconditionally. So when he comes to you at night and reveals himself to you, accept who he is. Accept what he wants to give you. I'm going to give you this and for the purpose of you accomplishing something. Very often he just wants to share time with you, to spend time with you. Of course, he's changing us just by virtue of being with him. But that's not the goal. He just loves you. He just likes spending time with you. So we've discovered that there are two general ways the Lord visits us at night. Without waking us, and by waking us up to be with him. We can talk about communing with the Lord as the time when our body sleeps. Now, while we're asleep, deep calls to deep. Spirit interacts with spirit with fewer hindrances from our soul. The Lord then changes our mind. He can quiet our emotions, and he can give new direction without our conscious awareness. Things that during the day we might argue with God about are readily accepted while we sleep. So sometimes in the morning, maybe this has happened to you, or sometimes days or weeks or months later, we realize that something has changed. Maybe we've changed. We've changed our attitude or our beliefs or our ideas about a situation, about God, about how we relate to others, or even what we think about ourselves. But something is different. Something has changed. For instance, we may have an answer to a situation that never occurred to us before. Or our mind or emotions toward a person may have changed without our realizing it. God even gives us new ideas, creative ideas, creative solutions, creative inventions while we sleep. One of the shames of what we believe hindering what God is doing in our lives is so often when he gives us a new idea, when we wake up, we put it on the shelf. We don't even write it down. We don't pursue it. We don't take it and run with it. So sometimes you wonder how many new ideas, solutions, have God has given to his people, and they've not done anything with it. So when he speaks to us, take it seriously. Have a pen and paper handy. Write it down. Or if you're into computers or technology, have something ready to record what God is speaking to you. And then act on it. And we'll get into this in greater detail as the programs progress. But for right now, from when he's talking to you during your sleep, that's sometimes the most valuable communication. Now, we're not talking about dreams. Okay, dreams, everybody has them. But they are most often a way of getting our attention. If you are one that is prone to dreams or night visions or anything like that, your first response to those is the same. Lord, what do you mean by this? Certainly when God gives a dream, it's to get your attention. So what do? You give it. You give your attention to it. You don't try to figure it out. You don't try to interpret it. You don't get your book out as to define the symbols and the meaning and then try to apply it to your life or whoever's life you think it might apply to. You ask God. If the dream is from God, that's the first thing you ask. Lord, is this from you? But then if the dream is from him, you ask him what it means. So he is free to reveal himself to you with clarity, in timeliness, and with specific direction. And when we learn how to act on what he is teaching us, we find the problems that we thought were insurmountable are easily dealt with, still with effort, but with far less effort than we had been anticipating. So very often God does his greatest work his fastest work as we sleep, so that we're not interfering with what he's doing. Since waiting for him and cultivating quietness, a quiet lifestyle, are engaging with the Lord in his purposes, there will likely be an increase in responses in this way. Since we've given God an open door, clear permission, nothing, you know, we're completely available to him, and given him a full opportunity to release healing, to give us the strength we need, to give us the understanding we need. So the more we make ourselves available at night, while we sleep, the more we receive from him unhindered. This is his most valuable time to gain access to us. So we want to take full advantage of it. But we can also visit with him. And what do we mean by that? Communing with the Lord. And again, these are just our terms. You know, however you want to make them real to you. There's not going to be a test, at least not by me. But there's communing with the Lord where we're asleep and we are with him without our being conscious of it. But as we cultivate our quiet lifestyle and make ourselves more and more available to him, there will also be an increase in occasions when the Lord will wake you up to be with him during the night. Though he deals with each of us uniquely, just being expectant, just sort of waiting for him as you go to sleep. Okay, if he does wake me, I'm going to get up. So just having that expectation regarding his visits will make you more aware of his approach. I'm sure it's happened to you that you have to get up at an earlier time than normal. And maybe it's something real important like catching an airplane flight. And maybe you're concerned that you're not going to make it. So you set your alarm early to that earlier time you need to be up. But odds are you'll be up before the alarm goes off. Because there's a concern there. You don't want to miss that flight. So you're always checking, has the alarm gone off? Has the alarm gone off? Did I turn it off in my sleep? So even though you have an alarm, you're getting up in expectation of how important it is to be to the airport on time. Well, it's the same thing in knowing God. If you have an expectancy that he's going to visit you. How about tonight? Say if he's going to visit you tonight. Whenever you felt or sensed that he might be visiting you, you get up. You assume it's him, don't you? I know some of you have already experienced this. But that's what this is about. When he comes, we respond. It's not that hard. He's not asking us to be something we're not, because you're already in him. You're already communing with him in your spirit. He's simply asking you to become whole, complete, and entire, spirit, soul, and body. When he does come for a visit, you will know how to respond. Sometimes we are concerned that we don't want to really encounter God because we don't know what we should do. Don't worry about it. Be yourself. That's all God's after. Don't worry about it. Don't let anything hinder your responding to God's call. Now, some of the ways that the Lord will announce his visit are through supernatural manifestations. We've talked about his presence waking you up. We've already mentioned some others: knocking, hearing a knocking, calling you by name, and other audible noises, or internal, hearing a song, or a situation, a rustling internally. Or you may hear them audibly, even footsteps, or a strong odor, or simply arising within of his presence so strongly that it breaks your sleep. So just as there are so many ways that he draws our attention while we're awake, he can use those same things while we're asleep. He doesn't care whether you're sleeping or awake. He's going to use whatever means he chooses to draw our attention to him. Sometimes it is his intention to let us sleep, and sometimes it is his intention to wake us up. Often, but not always, but often, the way in which the Lord awakens you will be an indication of his purpose. And this is something you'll have to learn. And we don't want to make assumptions about this. But what being aware, we want to kind of be objective because we want to learn. We want to know. We want to enjoy and appreciate the way God reveals himself to us. So a soft calling of your name may reflect that the Lord is seeking a time of joyful intimacy and private time with you. Whereas a sharp knocking may be an alarm regarding an issue, an answer, or a need for intercession. Or the content of a song heard inwardly may give some indication of the topic of conversation. In other words, if you hear that song coming through your head over and over and over again, where you wake up with that song, listen to the song. What's in the song? Lord, is that from you? Lord, what does this mean? Lord, what do I do with this? Over time, the Lord himself will teach you the meaning of his approach, as long as you ask and don't try to figure it out for yourself. You will begin to just know. If you do begin to experience these night visits, count yourself well on the way to knowing the Lord on a far deeper level than most Christians today, including most Christian leaders. Next, we're going to talk about pursuing the Lord at night. Rather than waiting for him to come, how do we take advantage of that night season and pursue him? Remember, God wants to be wanted. He doesn't like to force himself on us. He wants to be invited. So we're going to learn how to do that. We'll be getting together again Saturday at 9 o'clock. Until then, have a great rest of the week. And before you go to bed tonight, let the Lord just settle you and draw your attention. So as you're going to sleep, be thinking on Him. Know that He is visiting you in one way or another, but increase your awareness, just as you're increasing your awareness of Him during the day. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great week.